Welcome to One Chi, the home of Qigong on UK Health Radio. We're a community of Qigong teachers exploring our similarities and embracing our differences. And here's your host, Clara Apollo.
Hello and welcome in again. You're in the Qi Zone with me, Clara Apollo, and I'm a teacher of elemental Qigong and host of One Chi here on UK Health Radio and Qi Time TV on YouTube. I offer online Qigong trainings, and if you caught last week's show, where I invited in a guest presenter, Haroon Rabbani, you'll be aware of my next course on the Earth Element starting on July the 20th. And you can find out more about this on my website, claraapollo.com, or listen on demand to the show dedicated to discovering your Qi for menopause and so much more that is here on UK Health Radio. Now, on this episode, we're diving into the world of Chinese medicine with Alex Jacobs, who is a Chinese medicine doctor, and he uses a combination of acupuncture, herbal medicine, Tuinan massage, dietary therapy, and of course, Qigong. So you're going to hear why Qigong is the unifying factor for all of those components, because the wisdom of Qi flow empowers and opens us up to life. Hence why the practice of Qigong can steadily underpin everything you do. I cannot encourage you enough, and I know a lot of you are already practicing this. I met Alex through the One Qi community project, and I always learn much from the discussions that I have with him, either by myself or in the round table that us Qigong teachers do share from time to time. I really am so grateful for this Qigong teachers community. I was feeling pretty isolated before this. And, you know, we really do embrace the differences and enjoy the similarities. It's juicy. So if you are a Qigong teacher and you'd like to find out more, head over to oneqi.org. That's O-N-E-Q-I.org. So moving on now, Alex Jacobs, who is my guest here on One Qi Radio, also has a couple of exotic tracks to share with you, which will come about halfway through and at the end. So now it's time to sit back and soak up the healing artistry of a wise and well-versed doctor of Chinese medicine. You're listening to One Qi with Clara Apollo on UK Health Radio. Alex Jacobs is with us. He's a Chinese medicine doctor. He's an acupuncturist, Chinese herbal practitioner. He also practices Tai Chi and Qigong, and he's part of our One Qi community. And it's an absolute thrill to have him here because he's been a really important part of the development of One Qi because he knows how it works, how websites work and how communities work because he is indeed the president of the UK's Register of Chinese Herbal Medicine. So welcome indeed to One Qi Radio, Alex.
Really nice to be here.
Yeah, welcome in. So how did you get into Chinese medicine? What is your journey there?
It's been quite a long journey, really. I think that there are two main aspects. I've always had a really great interest in Eastern philosophy and Eastern traditions. But at the same time, I also have my own health issues, which took me towards both Chinese medicine and Qigong, actually. And so both of them have taken me on a path of trying to find something authentic and real that can help me. And that also led me to wanting to study the medicine itself, not only because I had an interest in the culture and the philosophy, but also because I wanted to be able to help myself and help other people too. Yeah. So it's quite an interesting perspective, I think, that you have when you're coming to something looking for quite concrete solutions, because at that point, you have to get past the theory to a large degree and actually find something real behind it. And I was very fortunate to have contact with some really great teachers of both Qigong and Tai Chi and of Chinese medicine who showed me that there was something incredibly real and powerful and authentic behind all of this. And it's made me, I guess it's made me a better practitioner.
Wow, this is so interesting. That's something very real behind it all. You know, it's an ancient art, isn't it, Chinese medicine? And it's steeped in history and science as well as art. There's a combination there. And it's looking for effectiveness. So what came first? Did the Qigong and Tai Chi come first, or the Chinese herbal medicine? How did that happen for you?
Started to feel that my overall energy levels and my overall kind of emotional health wasn't that great really in my late teens. So by the time I was 18, 19, I was looking for solutions. And at university, a friend of mine recommended Qigong, and I went to practice Qigong at that time. But what was interesting to me, and I think this might be interesting to a lot of people, is that whereas I could see a lot of the students around me of Qigong progressing, feeling wonderful things, having amazing experiences, I didn't feel anything. But I loved it. I loved the art. I loved the philosophy. And you know, it was frustrating because I was just as dedicated, if not as the people around me, but it wasn't happening for me.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that, because often, you know, you feel a bit vulnerable saying, I was practicing this stuff and then I kind of liked it, but it wasn't actually working for me. But you still had the curiosity there. You knew there was something there for you, yeah?
Yes, and I think that, you know, it's quite interesting that a lot of the great teachers out there, and I'm very grateful for them, a lot of the people who actually are pioneers and have achieved an incredibly high level, so they're able to teach and pass it down, they often tend to be also people who are fairly superhuman, who are able to push through and achieve great heights. And seeing both the medicine and the Qigong from a point of weakness and disconnection is an interesting perspective that it fills in a lot, because there are the kind of experiences that you feel like you should be having and other people around you are having. And if you're not, then why? And I think that my experience has really filled in a lot of the reasons why that is. And I think that a lot of people, actually more than we really want to admit, don't have a great experience from some of these things. And there are reasons why. And and this is something I think that I want to, part of the work I want to do is to help people. So the understanding the reality behind Chinese medicine and what we're talking about with the medicine can actually assist your Qigong practice. And I think, you know, this is one of the things we can talk about, I guess, is that we sometimes tend to see them as a little bit separate, the medicine and movements. And actually, or do we think that we have to do one or the other? If we want to get better, we either do something which is have some kind of medical intervention, which is quite passive, someone, a professional treating you, and you receive the treatment, or something like very active, like Qigong and meditation, and you're doing it yourself, and you're taking the power into your own hands. To me, I think we can get past that kind of dichotomy, and we can say, well, you can do it all. So, for example, you know, in a very simple level, if you're quite a cold person, get cold hands and feet all year round, sensitive to drafts, sensitive to wind. You might have low energy, you might have digestive issues. These are all issues relating to not having enough warmth in the body. In Chinese terminology, we'd say yang qi. And when you do your qigong, you might not have energy, you might feel tired afterwards. You might not get that nice warm glow that other people in the class are getting around here. And you're wondering why. Well, you know, you can do a few simple things. You could have some ginger and cinnamon tea before you practice. You could soak your feet in warm water, which is a classic technique from Chinese medicine. There's a whole host of techniques you can use. And if things are really entrenched, you could see a Chinese doctor. You could use acupuncture, moxibustion. They could use herbal medicine, and they can really help kickstart things. So there is a real science to qi flow. It sounds very abstract, qi flow, but we can actually be very concrete and very systematic about it. And we can work out why someone's qi is not flowing enough, or why it's flowing very irregularly and too much. And so I think that these things go hand in hand. And I've learned the hard way. It's taken me, my main teacher, who's Jason Chan, He's very patient. From the moment, from the year that I started, when I in his course, teach training course, which is I think 2000 and, or maybe it's year 2000 actually, until I finished it, it was about 20 years. Wow. And I went through a period not only of Qigong not happening for me, but a very confusing period when Qigong actually made my symptoms worse, which is incredibly confusing.
Really?
And wow. It was after a sustained period of Chinese medicine treatment and having to learn the medicine myself as well from the inside out to figure all this stuff out, I started to slowly realize what was going on and why. I now know why. And got to a point where it was a great landmark point where I could get to doing Qigong again when it wouldn't make things worse.
Wow. So Alex, I mean, listeners are probably thinking, did you have a chronic problem? Was it an intractable one? Is this something that you could share with us without too much sharing, but that people can relate to?
It's one of the problems is, and you can go down the rabbit hole with this one, but it's quite hard to define in both Western and Chinese medicine. It'd be loosely there's a loose umbrella term that kind of covers these kind of syndromes called chronic pelvic pain syndrome. Okay. It's quite a reductionist term. It doesn't really capture everything that's going on, and there's a huge variety within that terminology as well. And so the symptoms that I had were quite wide, and they also, one of the aspects of it is they're kind of ever changing as well. So there's a complexity to it. It's enabled me to learn the medicine quite.
I was going to say, you were really drawn into this. Well, what is going on then? And like you say, when we hand it over to the Western medicine doctors, that they have some, they call solutions, they often don't get to the root of the problem. And here are you going, well, I really want to find out why this is happening and therefore how I can heal it. Yeah.
And I think one thing that I'm quite inspired to do, and I will be doing a lot more in the future, is one of the things we can do is confuse and conflate the different dimensions and levels of our existence and of health. So we can, I think it's important to understand that there are, that we are multi-dimensional beings. So we have a very physical level where the blood and the fluids are flowing around our body, and they're subject to physics. You know, if it gets cold, they'll flow around a little bit slower. If it gets warm, they might even get, they might flow faster, but they might get reckless. So changing of the seasons, these things are very, you know, they're not outside the realm of physics. And then you have a level which is a little bit more hidden to the everyday person. I think these kind of levels of appreciation of flows in the body that you might experience once you trained yourself, or you might have some innate sensitivity to it, but not everyone might feel those. And this could equate to kind of the feeling of qi you might have in Qigong. But I would also say that level isn't outside this physical universe, and it's just something that people don't ordinarily experience. And then I think there are things which are more metaphysical as well. So there's the spiritual aspects, and all of those levels, to some extent, we're talking about different levels, and we can confuse them. And I think that separating them out really can help us to understand more clearly where we are, and the nature of the things that are obstacles in our progress and how we can address them.
Yeah, because with the five element theory in traditional Chinese medicine, it's splitting up the different elements, but it's also showing them in a sequence. And indeed, you can't really look at one without the other. But in the respect that you're considering here, you kind of have to be able to be able to unearth the situation in that particular element and then how that relates to another one. I mean, obviously, I'm not a Chinese medicine doctor like you are, but from my Qigong perspective, it is all like, we'll just go in to do the water element, but you can't really, you can get into the kidney energy and the bladder and all of that from that perspective, but you know that the earth is supporting the water and that there's a connection with the anyway. So do you find with this model that you're able to go into specific compartments and then unpick and then sort of build it up again from there and then in relation with the other elements?
I mean, there's a couple of things to say. Firstly, if you are a Chinese medicine practitioner, or if you study it, doing Qigong is an incredible way to learn it from another angle, because it's the experiential way. So it does tie things up enormously. And everything doesn't inform each other to a large degree. So every time you learn something from a different angle, you see everything else and understand it more. But when it comes to whether things are connected or not connected, I think that when I see a patient, I keep it in an unanswered state. When they come into me and they list all their symptoms, I don't jump to the idea that they're all connected. They could be, they could not be, they could be separate things. And I keep that unanswered as long as I can, as long as possible. So, because sometimes things are a constellation, a pattern, and you address the underlying root of that pattern and everything resolves. And sometimes they're really two different things. And I think that one of the things that marks out better practitioners, better doctors, is the ability to hold contradiction, apparent contradiction in your mind as long as possible, which, by the way, is something the Chinese are awesome at.
Let's call in Lao Tzu, shall we? I've got a little quote here for us around water. Water is fluid, soft and yielding, but water will wear away rock, which is rigid and cannot yield. As a rule, whatever is fluid, soft and yielding will overcome whatever is rigid and hard. This is another paradox. What is soft is strong.
Yeah, well, this actually relates to a core aspect of Qigong and Tai Chi. I was actually, just before this conversation, I was showing Clara a piece of calligraphy I have at home. This calligraphy was done by one of my Tai Chi teachers in Taiwan. And not only a brilliant Tai Chi teacher and practitioner, but he's a master calligrapher too. And he sees that the same principles behind the two enable you to do both. So it's that same Gong Fu behind both. But I asked him to do some calligraphy for my brother's wedding. And he gave me an extra one. And it was four characters. It was Dran Qi Zhi Rou. And it means transform qi into softness. And that role, that term role, is incredibly important in Tai Chi. It's very interesting that in Qigong, it's very interesting that he was an amazing martial artist. None of his students could beat him. He was in his mid-70s. But the thing he was most proud of was how soft he could make his body, how raw he could make his body. He wasn't proud of being able to take on eight people at once or whatever it is that he was actually able to do. He was proud of the softness. And it's in that softness that you find the strength. And so what you're just quoting there really reminds me of this. And later on, right, he gave me this lovely quote, Dran Qi Zhi Rou, transform qi into softness. I was reading the Tao Te Ching in the Chinese, and I realized, oh, it's from the Tao Te Ching. I didn't realize. He didn't mention it at the time. So that's actually a quote from the main Taoist classic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, this is lovely. Alex Jacobs is with us here on Wan Qi Radio. He's a Chinese medicine doctor, and we're chatting about how his journey through the Chinese medicine realm has been one of curiosity, but also of healing. One of the aspects of healing that I like to involve is that of using music and sound. Is that something that comes in with what you offer people as well?
Absolutely. In some ways, you can think about all of physics and all of existence as interactions of different frequencies. And so when we use sound, we can use healing sounds from within, or we can use music to evoke different things. And I know a particular medical practitioner who he can tell which element particular piece of music relates to and how it's going to make your qi flow just by listening to it. So there's a lot of great knowledge and wisdom in that area. Absolutely, I will use, I love to use music in my classes, but the healing sounds themselves, the vibrations we put through the body, they're incredibly powerful and incredibly healing. So I really recommend them to explore for self-healing.
Is that the Buddhist healing sounds, the six healing sounds?
There's, as with everything, there's a lot of different types. There are some standard ones. There are ones that relate to the organs. And the set that I use most, which was taught to me by my teacher, actually relates more to the chakras. So it's something that's, you know, you can work on all these different levels. And again, if you understand which level you're working on, then you can be a little bit more clear about what you're doing.
Right. But sometimes it's nice to play tracks, isn't it? And I know you've got a special track for us here on One Chi. What have you got for us and why have you chosen it?
So this is a very special one for me. Part of my journey took me to Taiwan to learn Chinese. And when I was there, I used to love the Chinese classical music. I think that we often don't get a lot of really good, authentic Chinese classical music over here. This was very special. There was a Taiwanese poet who teamed up with a Western orchestra and a Western style opera, and combined it with Chinese instruments and Chinese opera with a 200 strong choir. As to my memory, there were about another 100 people on stage, singers, different kinds of opera singing and singers, plus Chinese instruments, whole range of Chinese instruments. It's a fusion of Western and Chinese opera with Buddhist themes. And so it was a Buddhist opera. And this particular album is called Unbounded Bliss. And it's inspired by the Bodhisattva of Compassion, Guan Yin, who's the most popular Chinese deity, also a Buddhist deity. And this track is called Autumn. I just think it's a particularly beautiful one and showcases that amazing collaboration.
Wow, I love that. Thank you for sharing such Well, it's a very intense but very beautiful track there, as chosen by Alex Jacobs, my guest here on Wan Chi Radio. Who was that by again? Was it Buddhist opera from Taiwan?
What
was
it's Buddhist opera from Taiwan. And you know what? Despite my best abilities, it's quite hard to actually determine who the the name of this ensemble. The poet is called Yu Shi. Once you Google his name in the Chinese characters, it comes up with an ancient poet by the same name.
You're going to have to spell that out because we're on radio here.
Y-U-X-I, but you're not going to find it if you Google it, I'm afraid. It's really hard to get a hold of. I only came across it when I was traveling in Taiwan and stopped by a Guanyin temple, actually. And they had a whole stock of this music there. And then I was fortunate enough to see them live when they went touring. But it's all out of print, I'm afraid. So,
Okay. So you're very lucky to have heard this here on Wan Chi. Thank you so much. And you mentioned Guanyin again. I noticed that you pronounce Guanyin rather than Quanyin. And I know isn't that part of her history that she used to be a male deity and then she turned into being female? I don't know. Tell us what you know about Guanyin. It would be so fascinating. Thank you, Alex.
So the Guanyin is the most popular deity in China. I guess the condensed version is that she is the bodhisattva of compassion. In Tibetan Buddhism, that's Avalokiteshvara. And technically the Dalai Lama is the incarnation of Avalokiteshvara. So I'm not sure, I'm not an expert on Buddhism, but I'm not sure if there is actually a link between these two, because there are different lineages and things like that. Guanyin is definitely a Chinese specific version, or East Asian, I would say. So she's all over East Asia. If you see the statues of Guanyin, she's very much that archetype of the Divine Mother. And I think that in many ways you could equate that kind of energy, that kind of symbolism to Mother Mary in the West. People pray to Mother Mary in times of extreme distress or emergencies in the same way they do to Guanyin. And it's also this high ideal of compassion as well. So it's a powerful energy, and there's no downside to that energy. It's something, it's only beneficial. And so you'll see Guanyin temples all over China, and they're usually very beautiful. Actually, I think there's a lot of beauty to them. I've always been attracted to Guanyin and that what it symbolizes and that energy. Been to some very beautiful Guanyin temples. As far as the pronunciation, you'll see it written with a Q or a K. You hear me pronouncing it more like a G, G-U-A-N-Y-I-N. That's the correct Mandarin Chinese pronunciation. Okay. There are various arcane reasons why all these things get spelt in different ways, why Peking got spelt with a K, for example. And in fact, it's pronounced Beijing. There are different ways of transliterating the pronunciation. So the correct pronunciation is Guanyin, but it's perfectly fine. People can call her what she likes.
Thank you. But hasn't she got a middle name as well? Isn't the Shi getting in there?
That's right. So the full name is Guan Shi Yin. Guan means to observe, pay attention to, or in this case, very much listen. Shi means the world, and Yin means sound. But yin can also mean the cry of. So it's really translates to listen to the cries of the world. And it's this idea that the Bodhisattva of compassion, Guanyin, she made this commitment to stay in the earthly realm until all beings are enlightened through compassion. And in fact, you can take what's known as the Bodhisattva vow, and you make that same vow that you will keep reincarnating and keep staying in this realm until all other beings are liberated from cycle of death and rebirth. And so there's this idea that Guanyin is always there. It's always close. If there are any cries and people are reaching out, that she'll always be there to respond.
Such deep compassion, and so needed in the world that we're in right now. I feel like she's being called on a lot, or she's coming up a lot, and she's present a lot with very many people, even those that are not spiritual, they are aware of Guan Yin and her compassion for the human condition. And I think that, you know, Qigong also being here to help us to manage ourselves through all these changes at the moment is, yeah, it is part of a healing art. And also, as you say, got the science behind it. We're working with meridian moving and building up the energy in our dantians. But also there's that piece around you can do something for yourself. And I know that this is why I really connected strongly with Qigong back in the mid-90s, was I was looking at ways to help me take care of myself with the old repetitive strain injuries, and also I just had no energy left. I was in my mid-30s and I was spent. And when I was told that my prenatal chi was shot, it was like, oh, what does that mean? And how can I do something about it? And then probably a bit like you, once you find out that there's answers that aren't regular, they're not in the upbringing that we've had in the Western world, that there's this range of amazing information for us to glean, even as like a regular person. It made such a difference to me to know that Qigong was going to help me with my vital energy, even though I was in a place of being burnt out, basically. So it's that key of, I think, with the situation we're in at the moment, we're looking out, so a lot of people looking outside for answers, but actually with the Qigong and the Chinese medicine, we're coming inward to go, well, what can I do to help myself with this wisdom that is coming from this ancient science and art? So is that something that you really are working with as well?
Yes, it's something I'm very inspired by, the aspects of self-empowerment and self-help within Chinese medicine. I think they're very underemphasized in practice. So most people's experience of going to see Chinese medicine practitioner, and this is not any criticism for the practitioners, we don't have a lot of time when we're treating people, it is that you go there and you get treated, and it's quite a passive experience. So you'll get a diagnosis, you have some acupuncture, you'll have some herbs, hopefully you'll feel better, and that's great. It's a great thing in itself, but sometimes you'll feel, well, I'm not exactly sure what happened, how did I get there, how can I make sure that it doesn't happen again? And maybe your practitioner will give you a few tips, which can be great. And I know people who've had just very small tips that have changed their lives. But I think, but there is an enormous area which of Chinese medicine self-help where you can really learn a whole pile of techniques to take the power back, to maintain your health, but also to take yourselves to higher and higher levels of health and vitality, and go into the realms of developing power and focus. And then you might want to take that onto spiritual practice too. So that abundance can flow into much more success in meditation and Qigong practice. And one of the things that's really lovely, and one of the reasons why I think that this whole Guan Qi initiative is great, is that Qigong is very much at the heart of all of that. Qigong ties everything together. Sometimes people say that there's five main therapies of Chinese medicine. There's acupuncture and moxibustion, number one, Tuinar massage, Chinese herbal medicine, Chinese dietary therapy, and the last one is Qigong. But Qigong is really where the rubber hits the road. It's Qigong, it ties everything together, and it is the end point. So once you are able to do Qigong, you can feel that abundance of Qi accumulating and flowing and empowering your life and opening yourself up to life. That's the goal. And it's also something which will sustain you going forward too. And in some senses, all of the other therapies, they're assisting you to get there. So they are helping you to stay there too. But they're not the ends in themselves. The Qigong and the states that you achieve, and then maybe eventually into meditation, those are the goal.
Yes. Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned the Wanchi community as well. Do hop over to wanchi.org if you want to find out more about what this collective of Qigong teachers are doing together, having these kind of conversations. This is how Alex and I met, anyway. He has also done a video for us, a bit more in depth about his Qigong journey, that is on our YouTube channel, Wanchi. That's O-N-E-Q-I. And just as we begin to wrap this episode of Wanchi Radio up, I really would love to bring in that how people are able to take care of themselves in a positive way at the moment, because when we become more confident in ourselves, our immune system becomes stronger, and that's what really needs to happen. So have you got anything that you could share with people now that would help them to do that? Something quite simple, like you said, maybe one or two little lifestyle changes or perspectives that would really help them come into some self-empowerment now.
So I refer back to a couple of things we've been talking about, actually. So we've been talking, when we talked about music and vibration, we talked about frequencies. And to some extent, the path of healing and self-empowerment is to tune your frequencies and to raise your vibration in many ways, because everything gets very depressed. So lower emotions like fear, anxiety, stress, they bring us down to a lower state of vibration. And when we are able to raise that, then we actually start to experience a greater level of peace. We start to experience higher emotions. But the actual physical and physiological activity of the body starts to become more vibrant too. So the circulation around our body and the functioning of the organs. And so to some extent, to a large extent, our immunity is connected to that. Mm. So on a simplistic level, we could say, well, just practice being happy a bit more. And then easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
And one of the principles of Chinese principles and principles of Qigong and meditation is that actually we have this idea that the emotion that we're going for happens when we get the thing related to it. So we want something, we want a new car or something, we want a girlfriend. And when we get that, we feel happy. Well, actually, it's the opposite. We can actually, doing the practice, and we practice being happy, practice raising our vibration and being more vibrant. And then we actually start to attract the things which relate to that. So it's the opposite way around. So just as a summary, in terms of, well, how do we get there? There's all sorts of ways. You can raise your vibration by warming yourself up. So let's say soaking your feet in hot water, having a ginger tea. But you can also raise your vibration by moving with the Qigong, by breathing. And when you put the mind, body, and breath together, as we do in Qigong, it's an incredibly powerful mechanism that starts to encourage the whole body to become more vibrant and to raise the vibration. So simply try some Qigong.
Try some Qigong, mind, body, breath together, people. And I think that moving to the rhythm of the breathing gives the mind something to consider in the now moment, because it's often the monkey mind going off on its warbles that kind of distract us. But if you say, hey, mind, you're brilliant, because you just focus on the now moment and the breath, or noticing how I'm feeling standing, or noticing how I could bring more relaxation in, and ultimately coming into a place of surrender to what is already supporting you, that which is beneath you, the air that is breathing you, and letting go of trying to do and stepping in to being, which is the yin experience of life. Yeah,
absolutely. And here's a pro tip for Qigong: those three, mind, body, and breath, if you bring two into balance, the other one then also becomes into balance. So if you focus your mind onto the physical body and out of the loops and the thinking of your head, just how you're feeling, the breath will naturally come into harmony. If you synchronize the movements of the body to the breath, the mind will start to become peaceful and calm down. Mm. And what the other two? So if you bring the mind to the breath, your attention to your breathing, and just listen to the sound of your breath going in and out and slow it down, well, all the heightened state of the body and the physical body comes back into balance too. Our nervous system calms down. This is a way that people self-treat panic attacks and things like that, bringing the mind to the breath. So mind, body, breath. And I always say this to my students when they start their practice. Usually we're not in the best state when we start our practice. Halfway through, we feel a lot better, but it's actually that first part, first 15 minutes, is the hardest part of actually just sticking with it. But you can just make sure you get two of those. pointers, and the other one will come round.
Brilliant. Alex Jacobs, thank you so much for being part of One Chi.
Pleasure. Yeah, nice to be here.
How can people find out more about you?
So you can go to my website at www.daomedicine.com. That's daomedicine.com. And you can have a look at what I do. You can contact me through there. I've been doing some online Qigong classes, but I'm hopefully starting some physical ones soon again in West Hampstead. And I also do some online and in-person teaching of Chinese medicine self-help.
Right. And of course, you can find out about him and what he does on One Chi, our onechi.org community. So thank you so much again. I know that music's a big part of what you bring into your personal experience, but also what you offer others. And I know you've got one more track that you'd like us to play out with. Could you just introduce that to us briefly and tell us why you've chosen it?
Sure. So again, this is more Chinese classical music. This is my favorite Chinese instrument, which is called the erhu, and the erhu translates to the Chinese zither. It looks like a two-stringed small cello or something, and it's a beautiful, you'll recognize the instrument instantly. It's one, for example, used in the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon soundtrack, and it's used in a lot of Chinese music. But it's a beautiful instrument. It's very somber and melancholy, but it's very beautiful at the same time. And this is a famous musician, erhu musician called Jiang Jianhua. This is available. The album's called The Earth. You will be able to find it, I think. This is just one of the, it's a very beautiful album. And it's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Beautiful. Thank you so much again. Go well, my friend.
Thank you.
Wow, that got a bit jaunty. Let's pull up the Wan Chi tune to chill us out now as the show comes to its close. That last track was the Island Song from the Earth album by Jiang Jian Huao. I'm going to spell that for you. JiangJianHua. And it was the choice of my guest here on Wan Chi, the Chinese medicine doctor, Alex Jacobs. So if you've enjoyed the show, do tell your friends. We've got Listen on Demand here on UK Health Radio. And if you feel drawn to investigate our Wan Chi community of Qigong teachers, head over to wanqi.org or the Wan Chi Facebook or the Wan Chi YouTube. That's O-N-E-Q-I. My YouTube channel is Qi Time TV, where many of these interviews begin and you can see in their unedited form. Plus, there's several years' worth of Qiful chats with the likes of Grandmaster Ken Cohen, Dr. Roger Yanker, who's due in again soon, and most famously is Joe Dispenza, I know, and the late, great barefoot doctor Stephen Russell. Because I've been a broadcaster for, must be over 10 years now, and a Qigong teacher for well over 20, and this year saw many of us needing to take our teachings online. I was reluctant, but you know what? It's working on levels I had no idea of before I dared myself into this remote teaching realm. As I specialise in elemental Qigong, so I like to work seasonally and nourish the associated body organs at the time. And my next online course starts on July the 20th. So if you'd like to find out more, head over to clarapollo.com or my Facebook group, The Cheeky Temple. I know, Q-I-K-I Temple. You've got to keep your spirits high in this day and age. Also, if chi is lighter, it's more buoyant for you. It's easier to access and play with, shall we say. So let the awareness of your chi clear you through to your truest expression to empower and open yourself up to life. Thank you for listening to Wan Chi with me, Clara Apollo. Your energy is important. Use it well. And I'll see you on the next episode.